Talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, previous immediate past chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman, let's talk a little bit about a lot of things have come into play now. The Rules Committee has set out a rule. The full body of the House of Representatives ready to bring that up. Give us kind of an overview of where we are exactly in the process.
The Rules Committee met yesterday, approved a rule that will set up the parameters for general debate today. Then we'll begin the first probably 10 or 11 amendments at that point. We'll work through today and into the evening. The Rules Committee will come back into session this afternoon and approve a second rule, potentially authorizing more amendments to be considered on the Farm Bill. And that will then take us through tomorrow's debate and hopefully be done about midday on Friday and pass the core bill out. Still several pieces in motion right now. My Freedom Caucus colleagues, the very conservative Republican group of 30 or 40, seem to be focused on trying to force a vote on an immigration bill. They'd like to have that tied to the Farm Bill. Even though farm labor is a very important issue, it is a different section of law than the Farm Bill, but they're attempting to leverage us for that. So we'll see how leadership reacts and whether that becomes a part of the Friday-Saturday debate. I just don't know yet. Most of the amendments we'll consider this evening and tonight after the general debate, and then we'll debate and discuss each amendment one by one by one, are probably the less controversial ones. The amendments that deal with sugar, crop insurance, a variety of the issues that really cut to the core of the Farm Bill safety net, I think that's what the committee will look at this afternoon. From my own perspective, the less opportunity you give antagonists to try and break up the coalition, the less opportunities you give them to weaken the safety net, the better off we all are. But we'll see what the Rules Committee does and as the bill moves forward. And having the Rules Committee pass a rule to address the amendments and the debate time and all, that's just standard procedure. So that's not unusual this time. That's just standard procedure on a piece of legislation coming to the floor.
Congressman, first votes then will be on the initial rule. That's a pretty important vote because there's no guarantee that Chairman Conaway's got enough votes to get that passed.
You're right. It's critically important. And in a situation like this where the Democrats generally never vote for procedural votes, that is the rule to bring the bill to the order, customarily that's done by the majority party, the Republicans in this case, that makes it all the much more important. And if there's maneuvering going on over immigration or maneuvering over what might be considered in the way of sugar or crop insurance or a variety of other issues, that can impact the vote. So that's the first big key. I believe we'll adopt the rule. I believe we'll begin general debate. I think we'll launch into the amendments. Do not expect the amendments to have recorded votes individually as we go along. There's a high probability that, as always, there'll be a voice vote after the conclusion of each amendment. And if no member asks for a recorded vote, then that voice vote stands. If there's a request for a recorded vote, that means physically 430-some members coming to the floor. Those probably will be rolled to the end of the day or most likely till tomorrow in a big vote series.
As you look at what came out of the committee, as the chairman admitted to the Rules Committee yesterday, a partisan conclusion because of the dissent by Mr. Peterson and the Democrats regarding nutrition. What do you feel pretty good about what came out of, especially the title on the federal farm safety net, the conservation title, and the like?
If you look at the 2018 Farm Bill as it left the committee, as it was authorized to come to the floor in the Rules Committee yesterday, it's essentially the 2014 safety net with adjustments and refinements. Things like, for instance, allowing producers, even though we're going to keep both the ARC and PLC price and revenue protection options, the bill makes it quite clear that when the new bill takes effect, producers, as I promised 5 years ago, producers will have a second chance to pick. Do they want to stay with PLC? Do they want to stay with ARC? Do they want to switch to the other option? We'll give them an opportunity now, based on 5 years' experience, to decide which safety net is in their best interest. There's language in there dealing with raising the authorized number of CRP acres back up. If you remember when we passed the 2014 Farm Bill, commodity prices were sky-high record, twice basically in most commodity groups what they are now, both livestock and crop. The number of CRP acres coming out was dramatic, and we adjusted the authorized number of CRP acres to capture the credit for those savings, because under the 1974 Budget Act, if we didn't capture the savings in advance of the savings occurring, we would not have gotten credit. Well, now commodity prices are half what they are, were, and the committee agreed, and this was negotiated with the Democrats before we got into the great debate about food stamps and SNAP, to basically raise the authorization level back up to 27 million acres. Now, the more times you've renewed your contract, the less your rental rate will be. So there's some disincentives after property's been in there 20 or 30 or more years. I don't personally believe we'll ever get back to the 27 million acres, but I believe that the Congress should say to the commodity traders, whether it's Chicago or Atlanta or wherever, these low prices cannot stay over the long term, and we're going to let producers use the various tools that are available to try and rebalance supply and demand based on their individual decisions. That's going to be somewhat controversial with some people, but it's a necessary step. CSP is being basically ended and folded over into EQIP. Now, if you have an existing CSP contract, it will be honored for the full 5 years. There just won't be any additional CSP contracts issued or five-year extensions of the previous contract. Again, we don't have any new money to work with, so moving this around is necessary. There's some things like creating the National Vaccine Bank to address livestock issues, both beef and pork and swine and poultry in general. The effort to make sure that if we have an intentional or an unintentional disease outbreak in this country, that we can respond and protect the meat supply. This means things like creating national vaccine banks, positioning them in areas that reflect where the potential need would be, being able to alter the vaccine to match whatever would come at us, that sort of stuff. And from an Oklahoma perspective, there's essentially what you'd call a pilot project, I guess, to look at what do we do about the feral hogs, the wild pigs that are now running amok all over Oklahoma, and for that matter, the country as a whole. There's about $100 million in there to work with the state and local government to try and get a grip on that. So by and large, Ron, the safety net, what most folks would think of as the commodity title, is a refinement of the 2014 Farm Bill. Now, the controversy, of course, is the SNAP side, the social nutrition programs, the mandatory spending side, as some would say, of the social welfare equation, food stamps. And in the language passed out by committee, even though it inflamed my Democrat colleagues in committee, it's going to inflame them, I suspect, on the floor. Basically what it says is if you're under 59, you're over 19, if you don't have anybody depending on you at home, you're not taking care of someone, if you don't have physical or mental health issues, if you have the capacity to work to learn, then in order to draw your food stamps, you need to go learn a skill, receive additional education. And if you don't want to do that, then you can work 20 hours a week. But the bill is designed so that as the food stamp rolls come down, the money that's saved is rolled over into these additional education and work opportunities. When I mention this at home in public, folks look me in the eye and say, "You mean that wasn't already the law? What do you mean that wasn't already the law?" So we're just trying to give people an opportunity to get back into the workforce or to enhance the skills they need to be able to get back in the workforce, because that's ultimately what we all want, I think, is people have a chance to work, not to draw the assistance.
What at this point, what are your biggest concerns as far as some of the challenges from the amendments that you've seen that will challenge, you know, the federal farm safety net, crop insurance funding? What seems to be the most serious challenges in your mind?
While they've not been made in order yet, potentially in the second rules committee hearing this evening, we could see on Friday or Saturday bill amendments that in effect would end the sugar section of the farm bill. That doesn't just matter to the folks down in cane country. Think of Florida, Texas, those kind of places. It also matters to the people in beet country, and that's Colorado, that's all the way across to Minnesota. I mean, that's a big industry. If the forces who believe that it is better to use imported sugar and think they can get it cheaper are willing to end this program, then that blows a big hole in the commodity coalition. But just as egregious as that is, there will be potentially amendments that will cap the money that can go into the crop insurance program, or cap what assistance a producer can get from either the ARC or PLC or all the programs. I would argue, as I've always argued, if a farm bill is about raising the food and fiber we need in a plentiful supply, highest quality, most cost-effective, then the resources should follow production. I serve with members who think the farm bill should be used to define what they personally think a farm or ranch should be, to define which parts of the country should be engaged in farming and ranching and how it should be done. I hope we can again beat those amendments back, because it's just critically important that we maintain this safety net. Because after all, commodity prices generally are about half what they were 4 years ago. That's world supply and demand. That's a whole bunch of issues beyond the control of any farmer, any rancher out there. We just have to hold all that together. And then there will be a litany of cats and dogs. I think so far in the preliminary filings, there's been about 111 amendments filed. I don't expect 111 amendments to be made in order. I could potentially see, in addition to this first dozen or so, maybe another dozen or so. As always, those of us who care about rural America, who care about meeting our needs, are just going to have to stand on the floor and fight it out.
Have you, by any chance, communicated your desires to Congressman Cole?
I have had lengthy discussions with all my colleagues. I would say that Congressman Cole has always been very, very receptive about what's important in a farm bill and important rural America. And, of course, my neighbor over on the east side, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen, is, in addition to his other businesses, is a rancher. So he's in the field every day, too, when we're at home. But I've got to persuade 218 of my 435 colleagues that it's important we not waste this great investment called American agriculture.
One last question quickly. You pushed hard as chairman and running the last bill, 2014, to get that commodity title at least made permanent law. In hindsight, if you'd had that happen, how would that have changed all of this 18 conversation?
We'd have a 20-page bill that would make technical adjustments in a whole bunch of sections, and it probably would have passed on a suspension calendar by voice vote. So, yes, it would have made our life in rural America going forward dramatically simpler and would have provided a great deal more certainty. I just couldn't persuade the United States Senate and the Ag Department under then-President Obama to go along with us. I did persuade the House Ag Committee. I did actually persuade the floor of the United States House that permanency was important, consistency was important. I just couldn't convince the other parts of town.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas talking about this 2018 Farm Bill debate, getting ready to go full speed ahead in the House of Representatives. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.